Hey, what's going on, everybody? Thank you so much for listening to this week's message from Zoe Church. I'm excited to be in part three of a series we're in called Talk of the Town. We are studying together the subjects of freedom and forgiveness. And as always, I want to thank every person that subscribes to our podcast. Thank you for sharing the messages. Thank you for liking and leaving a comment. It means the world to us and to our team. And as always, I want to thank every person that gives to and through Zoe Church. If you'd like to begin your worship in the areas of tithes and offerings, please text Zoe to 77977 and we'll shoot you a link, or you can go to our website and you can give right there. But let's jump into this week's message called Find Your Balance, Find Your Freedom. John chapter 10, verse number 1. John 10, verse 1. We are in a series right now. We have been talking together about freedom and forgiveness. This is part three of a series on freedom and forgiveness. And I'm really excited to unpack today's message. If you missed last week's, you'll find out why we're calling it the talk of the town. The talk of the town. That line comes from Mark chapter 5, verse 20. And in Mark 5, verse 20, the Message translation, it's describing a man that was known as a demoniac. He was possessed by demons. He had a slew of demons, but when he met Jesus, he fell at his feet and Jesus delivered him and saved his life. After getting saved, he asked Jesus, "Can I get on the tour bus with you and go to Lexington, Kentucky to keep preaching with you?" And Jesus says, it would be better if you just went back to Palmdale and told everybody what I did for you. Shout out to Palmdale. Come on, everybody. I love to make fun of Palmdale and Rancho Cucamonga. He said, "We need you. It would be better if you just go back to Palmdale, tell everybody what I did for you." And it says, when he got back to town, he was clothed. I'm in my cardigan. Julia doesn't like that this one, it peels a lot, so I apologize. He was clothed and he was in his right mind. See, everybody knew him before when he had lost his mind, when he was out of his mind, when he wasn't doing well. But anybody thankful that after you meet Jesus, people can recognize that something has changed because of the good news and the gospel. Come on, everybody clap together and thank God. Come on, West Side, everybody clap together. That's what the gospel does. And he became the talk of the town. No one was talking about his Cybertruck. No one was talking about his floor tickets. Everybody was talking about, "I knew you before Christ, and since you met Jesus, clearly it's evident you've changed. We knew you when you had a bunch of demons, and now you look free and whole and sanctified and straight out of Zara. What's going on with you?" He became the talk of the town. And because I believe that's why Jesus came. Jesus came to set you and I free. He came to bring freedom. The Bible says it this simple: it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. It is the plan and the will of God for you to live in freedom. And it is the tactic and the strategy of the enemy for you to live in bondage. Bound to some pill, person, or problem. Bound to something that's holding you back from fulfilling your God-given potential. And so the enemy will do everything he can to get you in bondage, but good news, Jesus will do everything in his power to get you into freedom. And that is the power and the message of Jesus, that he hung on a cross, died on the cross for our sins, went down to hell, defeated death, sin, and the grave to prove to us that he can break any chain, that nothing is impossible for our God. Amen to that. And so last week we talked about this Greek word, because the moment I start talking about demons or demon possession, a lot of us are like, "Whoa, man, you slow your roll. I don't know if a Christian can have a demon." Well, the reality is that most believers are in bondage because they never believed that they could get into bondage in the first place. And I want to encourage you today that your life was bought at the high price of the blood of Jesus. So let me just tell you who owns you. God owns you. I feel like Kirk Franklin, God's property. Anyways, but God bought you.
So you are owned by Jesus. But that does not mean that in spite of being owned by God, that you cannot be controlled by an evil spirit, a foul spirit, an unclean spirit, a demon. In fact, I think that what happens, let me just show you the Greek definition for this word, demon possession. In the Greek, it does not mean own. They live in people, but they cannot own them. It means to gain mastery over or power over, or if you continue to study that word, influence. So this demon does not own you, but it starts to, maybe not day one, but give it 3 years. Starts to gain more influence over your life, more power over your life, and eventually starts to control you. So the first day, by the way, I want to encourage every one of our people to go read or listen to. I'm listening to an audiobook by Pastor Robert Morris called True Freedom. And a lot of what I'm teaching comes from a series that he did 10 years ago on freedom. And he uses this great illustration. I used it last week. He said, if you and I go away, leave our house to come to church today, and by the time we get back to our house, we walk in and there's a thief in there or a robber, does that thief own the house? No, they're in the house, but they don't own the house. And it's our job, it's our privilege to kick that thief out. You're not welcome here. See, some of us have allowed through sin and other doorways, we've allowed there to be an influence or a mastery or power control of an alternative spirit other than the Holy Spirit to come into our life and gain more control. And I've got to teach this because I want you to fulfill the God-given potential on your life. And some of us, we got to understand, I don't want you to be skeptical, and I don't want you to be superstitious. I want you to have great balance with this. In fact, let me put up a quote by one of my favorite Bible teachers. His name is Jack Hayford. It says, there are two groups of people that Satan absolutely loves and gets excited over, the Cowboys and the Clippers. Sorry, my bad. Just seeing if you're listening. You feel like that though, don't it? It's like he just be loving like, oh, injury. Okay. There are two groups of people that Satan absolutely loves and gets excited over. The skeptics and the superstitious. Oh, the enemy loves this when you get into one or two extremes. The skeptic is skeptical. Like, ah, come on, man. We talk about demons in church. Like, no, man, they're not real. That's not real. That's not today. That's like, man, that's too spirit. That's crazy. I don't know if that activity is real. I don't know if that happens now. And you become skeptical. If you do that, you're going to violate 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 says that there is a devouring lion. His name is Satan, who looks around searching for those whom he may destroy. So if you get too skeptical, you're not going to be aware that there's somebody that's trying to take you out. On the other hand, if you get too superstitious, all of a sudden now everything's the devil. I got a parking ticket. It's the devil. Oh, I got bad breath today. It's the devil. Oh, I lost my job. It's the devil. No, no, no. You ran a red light. You didn't show up on time and you didn't brush your teeth. Okay? It's not the devil. That's you. You drove that car. You skipped that teeth brush. You 15 minutes late. And if we do that, we hang everything on the devil. All of a sudden, we're superstitious. We start realizing Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 teaches us that Jesus, after 40 days in the desert, he hadn't eaten anything and he was hungry. And then he was tempted by the enemy. We start thinking, oh, the enemy's tempting him because he was hungry. No, he was hungry because he hadn't eaten. He just didn't have any food. How many of you, after like a few hours, need to eat? Some of you, you're like a walking Snicker commercial. You need to eat right now. So we can't pin everything on the enemy. And we can't become skeptical or jaded or cynical and wondering like, ah, come on, man. We have to, in fact, write down the title of this week's message. I want to teach you a message today that find your balance, find your freedom. I want to get you balanced on this subject and balanced in all things, moderation. I'm not trying to swing our pendulum too far this side, and I don't want to swing our pendulum to this side. I just want to get you to understand that you could be a Christian and be in bondage. you could become a believer and be chained to something. And God has done everything in his power to break that chain, to set you free so you can be loosed and walk in your God-given potential. And we just got to understand this is real. In fact, write down point number one today. Let's get real. Let's get, you know how you're talking to somebody like, let's get real. It's like, oh, I don't know if I want to do that with you. Let's get real. This stuff is real. If you don't believe in demons, you don't believe in most of the gospel. Jesus had a preaching ministry and a healing ministry and a deliverance ministry. Everywhere Jesus went, he preached the good news. The kingdom of God is here. Everywhere he went, he healed the sick. And everywhere he went, he cast out demons. This is a massive part of his ministry. Watch this. Let me just read some scriptures. Matthew 8, 16. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. And he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. Matthew 9, 32, as they went out, behold, they brought to him a man, mute and demon-possessed. And when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke, and the multitude marveled, saying, it was never seen like this in Israel. Matthew 17, 18, and Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Mark 1, 39, and he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out, what is that word? Demons. Mark 3, 14. Then he appointed the 12 that they might be with him and he might send them out to preach the good news and to have power to heal the sick and to cast out demons. Mark 6, 12. So they went out and preached that the people should repent and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. Mark 16, 17. And these signs will follow all those who believe in me. In my name, they will cast out demons and they will speak with new tongues. Sounds to me like this is real. And if it wasn't real, Jesus wouldn't have spent his time casting it out. No longer are you going to torment this person. No longer are you going to influence this person. No longer are you going to control this person. No longer do you have mastery over this person. I call them dead to your spirit and alive to my spirit. They're not going to follow your ways. They're going to follow my ways. Oh, come on, everybody, give God a big praise today for his goodness and his mercy. Oh, I just love this about God. He's showing us, he's teaching us through the Gospels that this all is real. This is a real issue. This is a real thing that someone, even a believer, could be possessed by a demon. And that foul spirit, that thief, that robber has to go. It has to get out of here. In fact, read with me in John chapter 10, where I had you turn there. Read John chapter 10, verse 1. It says, very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listens to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. It's very important that we understand what Jesus is saying. He's saying, I'm the good shepherd. I go straight through the gate. And I'm so good that I'll just tell you straight up, this is what I'm about. I'm about salvation. I'm about healing. I'm about truth. I'm about liberty for you. I am for you and I'm with you. And I walk straight through the gate. In fact, Jesus says it this way. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the light. He says, but the thief, the punk, the robber, I call him a little weasel. That little weasel comes through the side gate. That little weasel has to climb the fence. Why? Because he didn't come through the gate. He didn't come through how everybody else came. Because the enemy, the thief of your life, the robber of your life, wants to enter in through some compromise, through some sin, through some sneaky little white lie. He wants to enter in and stay there. When you come home and you see the thief in your house, he wants to go, it's fine, just let me stay. He didn't come through the front door. But I'm telling you today, in the name of Jesus, he's going to get cast out, and he is no longer welcome in your home or in your soul or in your life. I want you to clap like you believe it today. I'm getting set free. stuff is real. I'll never forget when I was in Bible college, I lived on the east side of LA in 1998 to 2004. I lived in East LA. Shout out to East LA. And I lived over there on the east side, and I was in Bible college studying the Bible and wanted to be a preacher. And I'll never forget, my buddy and I, my best friend in Bible college, were at the grocery store one day, and we saw a man. He looked like he was special needs, but he had a golf cart, and his golf cart was packed with groceries. And it was kind of spilling over. And so we kind of walked up to him like, oh, man, Captain, Bible college students are here to help. And so, you know, we're zealous for the Lord. And so we walked up. We're like, hey, man. You know how Christians talk? Hey, man, how you doing? It's us. We're in Bible college. And we just got back from Orange County, and we're studying the scriptures. And we got back from Huntington Beach. And so we walked up to this guy, and we've got our Bible college, you know, look on and everything. And so we're like, can we help you? And this guy's like, oh man, thanks so much. So we carry a bunch of groceries, and he's in front of us in the golf cart, much faster than us, a golf cart. And we go for a few blocks. We're like, man, where's this guy live? You know, we go for a few blocks, and we get into some apartment complex. And as we pull in the apartment complex, he leads us to where he lives. It's on the ground floor. And I'll never forget, we grab these groceries, and when he opened the door, I wasn't expecting this. When he opened the door and we walked inside, I walked into what is to this day to me probably the most evil sense or dark spirit I've ever walked into. And the guy didn't seem like this at all, by the way. But there's about five or six other people in this apartment that I'm like, this is like Hot Topic on steroids. And so we walked in, and I was like, me and my buddy were like, we gotta go. We need to go study John 3:16. We're not fit for this. We're just sophomores. And so I was like, I've never been so afraid in my life. And so we're like, we're going back to the golf cart. We're grabbing more groceries, looking at each other like. And we deliver all the groceries, and we're saying goodbye to the guy. We're like, all right, man, we're going to go. And he's like trying to get us to stay. We're like, wow, I think we're good. We got to go. I think we got exams tomorrow. And it was the most overt, evil, demonic, possessed presence I'd been in. See, a lot of us spiritually, we think it's got to be at that level for it to be real. But there are things that you open your life to when you were 14, 11, 9 that have been controlling you and influencing you, and they don't want to leave you because they're your comfort blanket. But I'm telling you today that it's going to get cast out and it's going to break in the name of Jesus, because God wants to set you. Come on, clap together if you believe it. It's for freedom that he sets us free. And he was preaching, and he was healing, and he was delivering, and he was sending them out, and people were getting delivered. That foul spirit, that wrong spirit, that compromising spirit, that lying spirit. In fact, I want you to write down number 2 today. Choose your influence. You are going to be under the influence of the wicked one or under the influence of the Holy Spirit. But you cannot have 2 influencers. You've got to choose your influence carefully. One leads you to compromise. One leads you to duplicitous tendencies. One leads you to deviance. One leads you down a path of destruction. And the other one leads to freedom and joy and peace and hope and love and legacy and fulfillment. Set it. Come on. I feel the Holy Spirit in this one. Come on. Praise him if you want to get set free today. Choose your influence. Choose your influence, because the wicked one, the thief, the robber through the back gate only comes to do one thing. John 10:10. Look at here. It says the thief comes only to. He only comes to do one thing in your life, and that's to steal from you and to kill you and to destroy you. He only has one agenda. He has come through the back gate to enter into you. By the way, demons are real, and they really do enter you. And so why do they come in? The thief only comes. The only reason why he's there is to steal, kill, and to destroy. And so his agenda is to steal your purity, steal your mind, steal your life, steal your family. He'll steal anything he can. He's a robber. He's a thief. So he comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. Jesus says the opposite. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And so you got to be careful. Compromise and sin is what allow these spirits to be welcome in your life. Watch this in Ephesians 4. I'm going to show you two translations. Ephesians 4, look at verse number 26. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. The way that we like to say that is if you give the devil a foothold will become a stronghold. So he came in and you thought it was innocent and you opened your life to this activity and you're doing this, that, or the other, fill in the blank for your sin, and you thought it's not going to hurt me. It may be day one, it won't. But you give that spirit 5 years and he'll get more control over time, more power over time, more influence over time. By the way, let me just ask you today, is there a sin in your life? Is there a sin today in your life where you have gone back to this sin and you have told God over and over again, that's it, I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm not going to do this anymore. And time again, you go back to it over and over. This has been a pattern for years. Come on, let's be honest. You're in bondage. That thing is not that strong, but it's gotten stronger over time. And so watch what it says, Ephesians 4:27, in a different translation. It says, do not give the devil a way to defeat you. Don't give the enemy an opportunity to come in and take over your house. You came in the first day, you're like, why is the thief here? Now 10 years later, the thief, he's sleeping in your bed. He's doing his laundry. He's eating all the food in the cupboard. He's got more control than you realized. So I got to choose my influence and kick him out so I can let God's truth reside. Choose your influence wisely. So you might say, well, help me. What allows this type of thing into my life? I'm going to give you four things. Write down number one, pride. Pride opens you up to going down this path where there's mastery, power, and control and influence of the wicked one, a spirit of pride. What is a haughty spirit? A prideful spirit. You can't tell me what to do. You can't tell me how to spend my money. You can't tell me what to give. You can't, and it's not teachable and it's not correctable. It's a prideful spirit. And when you walk in pride, you open your life up to the one that's the master of pride, the wicked one. How about the next one? Write down two, greed. You got to be careful with greed. Greed is never satisfied. It needs more eyeballs, more attention, more money. That's why some of you need to be careful with your finances, because there is a spirit that's on money. And when I give my money to God, I break the spirit of mammon. The mammon spirit is a spirit that's on money that you, no matter how much money you make, it'll never be enough. So you get a raise and you make more and it's never enough. I'm telling you, when you break that spirit, when you tithe, when you give money to God, all of a sudden I'm satisfied, I'm happy, I'm content, I'm thankful, I'm fulfilled. But when you get in that greed spirit, you're like, man, I'm going to leverage, I'm going to monetize, I'm going to make more money, and you'll live as a consumer your whole life, you'll never be a contributor. When I'm grateful and I've got the Holy Spirit leading my life, controlling my life, having mastery over my life, I look to give, I look to add, I look to bless, I look to help, I look to encourage. I'm not led by a greedy spirit, I'm led by the Holy Spirit. So you open your life up to pride or greed, or how about lust? Lust, the spirit of lust. Which Jesus says, if a man looks at a woman with lust in her, in his heart, he's already committed the act. What is a luster? A luster is a taker. And it's the opposite of a lover. A lover is a giver. The kingdom of God is all about giving. A person of lust demands, what God intended me to have later, I want right now. That's lust. Lust demands today what God promised to have tomorrow. And so if you're filled with lust, and you've got lustful eyes, you've got to break that spirit and you got to get love. What is love? 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 through 8. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not easily provoked to anger. Love keeps no record of wrong. That's a word for my wife today. Hallelujah. It always trusts, always hopes, always protects. Love never fails. But when you open your life up to a lifestyle of lust, in the last service I was talking about, when I was a young man, I watched pornography with a group of teammates. And I was exposed to pornography as a young man. And went like that for years. In church, Christian, believer, at conferences, watching pornography. And when I was 19 years old, I repented and gave my life to God and got set free and delivered from a spirit of lust. Come on, it could happen today. It could happen today in the name of Jesus. You are not meant to be a taker. You are meant to be a giver. And when I said it in the last service that I had looked at pornography, everybody was like, oh, God, oh, Jesus. I don't know where to look right now. Oh, you're so holy. God could break it today. You've been in lust your whole life. How about you live in love your whole life? God didn't call you to live in that foul, evil, unclean. That's where your uncleanness comes from. You're walking in unclean ways. So pride, greed, lust. What about bitterness? Unforgiveness. The inability to forgive people that have hurt you. Remember, offense is a moment. Offended is a decision. You have an offense against someone. But if you choose a lifestyle of bitter, and watch people that can't forgive people. I've watched the kindest, sweetest, greatest people go from loving Jesus and loving people to being harsh, critical, mean, controlled by the wicked one. Why? Because they can't forgive. And I preach to them every Sunday. Sometimes I'm preaching, I look out at some of y'all, I call it resting church face. It's preaching at y'all, you're like this. Sometimes I go in the courtyard to the people that are happy and smile, and I'm looking at like five people the whole time I preach because they're smiling like this. I think they feel bad for me. You can do it. They're not with you, but I am. Go for gold. You watch what unforgiveness will do in your life. Holding on to grudges. The Bible says an offended person is harder to win over than a fortified city. I'm not forgiving them. I'm not going to let that go. You think I'm going to forget about that? You think I'm going to? I'm sorry. Did we not read that Christ forgave us? And through his power, we can forgive others? You open your heart and your life to that unclean, unforgiveness spirit, I'm telling you, it will mess with every relationship you have. Bitterness doesn't hurt one. It hurts them all. Because now I don't trust nobody. And now I won't talk to nobody. And now nobody's coming to my house. And nobody's coming to watch the game. And I'm not letting anybody get close to me. Oh, I got burned before. Nobody's coming close to me again. Do you think that's freedom? No, that's bondage. When you follow Jesus, just like him when he hung on the cross, he said while he was dying for us, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Come on, clap and thank. I'm getting set free today. Choose your influence. Choose your influence. Write down the last thing today. Number three, I love this one. We're getting out of bondage and into freedom. I just believe that for a lot of us, we're getting out of bondage and we're getting into freedom. And I love this. You know, when you get an unclean spirit in you, or let's just be honest, because of Bible terms, a demon in you, there's only two options you got. You can leave them in or you can cast them out. So it's your choice. You want to leave this guy in or do you want to let him get cast out? Worship team, come join me, because I believe this for a lot of us today. Some of you, you've been allowing this robber, this thief to live for too long in your life. And he's controlled you and mastered you and influenced you and talked to you and got you to go any which way he wanted for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. But I believe today in the name of Jesus, the name above all names, the Lord above all lords, the Christ above all Christ, the blood above all blood. I believe today you can be set. Come on, clap if you believe it today. Set free. That fast. Name above all names. He's got the power. He's got the authority. He's got the control. All you got to do is speak his name. Galatians 5:1, put on the screen. For it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. John 8, put it on the screen. Next one. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. It's kind of like I lived my whole life never really hearing nothing about this until this last summer. But this last summer, boy, was I awakened to this reality. All of a sudden, this last summer, everywhere we went, every single day, everywhere I turned, I've never been more aware of ticks in my life. All of a sudden, my wife, everywhere we went to Missouri, Alabama, Florida. We went all over the place, Washington. Well, everywhere we went, my wife's like, we got to check up for ticks. Look for ticks. We got to look in the crevices and the cracks. And look, you look in the crevices. I ain't looking there. You, the ticks, check up for ticks. We got to find ticks. We got to find ticks. It's like I grew up my whole life never hearing the word tick one time. Except for tic-tac, that's all I heard. Now we gotta check my kids. What's it saying? Check yourself before you wreck yourself. Some of us need to look inside and go, could it be true of me that I've got an unclean, unholy, undefiled spirit living in? Most Christians are in bondage because they never believed they could get into bondage. My front door is locked. Yeah, but your side gate's wide open. Could it be that some thief, some robber has gotten into your life and is controlling you? Come on, man. Really? This is freedom? What you're living is freedom? I call it bondage. True freedom has an ability to, write these three things down, please. Write them down. You can submit to God, draw near to God, and you can enjoy the Word of God. When you're free, it's so easy to submit to God. When you're free, it's so easy to draw near to God. And when you're free, you're so in love with the Word of God. You don't need freedom to go do you. You need freedom to follow and serve Jesus. In fact, I would say you need freedom so you could become a slave to righteousness. And a lot of us, it's like, man, I want to be that happy, and I want to give, and I want to love, and I want to, something's holding me back. It's a chain. It's a person. It's a season. But good news today, friend, Jesus has all the authority. Jesus has all the power. Jesus can set you free. Amen. And I love this because all through the scriptures, we see him having power. In fact, one time Jesus pulls the guys together and he sends out the 72 by two. He says, you guys, Palm Springs, you guys, San Diego, you guys, I want you, Inland Empire, you guys, Palmdale, you guys go over there. And I give you all the authority, by the way, heal the sick, preach the good news, drive out demons. Everywhere you go, preach the good news, heal the sick, drive out demons. And they came back and they're like, you're never going to believe it. We cast them out and they believed us and the demons got drove away. He's like, man, don't even be excited about that. I watched Satan fall like lightning. In other words, what Jesus is saying is don't get excited that the demons get driven out. I was in heaven the day that Satan tried to take a third of the angels in heaven from worshiping God to worshiping him. And I was there the day that Satan got kicked out of heaven and he went from the worship leader of God's songs to the worship leader of the world's songs. And I watched him fall like lightning. You think demons are a big deal? I watched the ruler of the demons get cast down. That's how much authority Jesus has. You think this little punk thief through the back gate punk has some authority? I watched their leader fall. And there is no way that my God wants you to live bound up in addiction, bound up in bitterness, bound up in lust, bound up in greed, bound up in pride, bound up in anything that's going to, come on, clap and thank the Lord. I'm going to be free today. Luke 10, stand to your feet. Luke 10, verse 17, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. And he replied, man, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you the authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. You know what he's saying here?
What's the bigger deal? The fact that we can cast out any unclean spirit? Or is the bigger deal the fact that we're promised everlasting life through the sacrifice and the love of Jesus Christ? I will tell you, it's a bigger deal that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life than we can cast anything out. Isn't that good? And so I want to pray for you today. I want to pray deliverance in the name of Jesus. And maybe you're here today and you go, well, I don't know if I have one, but I'm kind of guessing that I do. Wouldn't you rather be safe than sorry? Because to me, my goal is to serve the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I don't want anything holding me back from fulfilling my God-given potential here on this earth. Come on, clap if you agree with that today. That's our goal, is to fulfill. And by the way, what I have found when you cast out a demon, anytime you cast out a demon, no demon's like, oh, that we're done? Okay, hey, that was so much fun. Thanks for having me. You cast out a demon and you tell him in the name of Jesus, you go in the mighty name of Jesus. And the whole time the demon will speak to you, I'm not leaving. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving your life. You've done this before. You've tried. I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to be back tomorrow. I'll be back next week. You know how it goes. I'm going to be back tomorrow. But I'm telling you in the name of Jesus, that thing's gone and that thing's kicked out by the matchless name and blood of our Savior. His name is, come on, praise him a little louder with a clap. We got faith. No weapon formed against you will prosper. I am more than a conqueror in Christ. In my own strength, I can't do anything. But I'm telling you, I know the man that has the authority. I know the man that breaks the chain. I know the man that breaks the yoke. I know the man that breaks anything that would cause me to be hindered. So I want to ask you today, do you want to be set free? Do you want to be delivered? Do you want freedom? Are you tired of being in bondage? Whatever it is, maybe it's one of the four that I mentioned. Maybe it's something that was on the list from last week, the prayer, whatever it is. I declare freedom and healing and deliverance in Jesus' name. Amen.